Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Italy has placed the Czech Republic on its coronavirus blacklist. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš is due to brief parliamentary party leaders on his government's plan to contain the spread of COVID-19. And Czech scientists have protested against the Danube-Oder-Elbe canal project. Italy has placed the Czech Republic on its coronavirus blacklist as of Thursday, October 8th. This means that anyone entering Italy from this country will have to produce a negative COVID-19 test no older than 3 days, including people who are only transiting the country. Other countries have reacted similarly to the worsening coronavirus epidemic in the Czech Republic. Greece requires a negative coronavirus test, while Switzerland and the Netherlands require people arriving from the Czech Republic to go into quarantine, even if they have tested negative. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš is due to brief parliamentary party leaders on his government's plan to contain the spread of COVID-19 in a video conference on Thursday. The Czech Republic currently has the highest number of COVID-19 cases per capita in the European Union, with 346 cases per 100,000 inhabitants. A record 5,335 people tested positive for COVID-19 on Wednesday. Health Minister Roman Primula will formally announce the government's long-term plans on Friday. He has said they include stricter measures that will not adversely affect businesses. Germany, the Czech Republic, Estonia and Latvia are to recall their ambassadors from Minsk, the Reuters news agency reported, citing sources from the Lithuanian Foreign Ministry. The move comes in solidarity with fellow EU states Lithuania and Poland, whose embassies in Minsk were all but shut down by the regime, which accused them of meddling in its internal affairs. The EU recently blacklisted 40 Belarusian officials amid a brutal police crackdown following election rigging. The Czech Ministry of Foreign Affairs has not yet officially commented on the news. Dozens of Czech scientists have signed a petition criticizing the government's decision to approve the construction of a canal connecting the Danube-Oder-Elbe rivers. The government approved the first phase of construction on Monday on the argument that a canal to the North Sea would benefit the whole region, improving access for local industry to European and world markets and providing new recreational travel opportunities. Scientists say it is a megalomaniac project that will cause irreparable environmental damage. They say the government should not have approved it without a public and expert debate. The Visegrad 4 grouping of Central European states, which includes the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland and Slovakia, provides a useful platform for deepening and improving mutual relations, Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček said at the GlobSec conference in Bratislava. Mr. Petříček said that the organization had helped to achieve the post-communist state's key goal in the 1990s, namely integration into Euro-Atlantic structures, and the present-day priority was to make active use of membership in these institutions. He described the Visegrad Group as a tool for strengthening contacts between peoples and supporting civil society. The Prague Writers' Festival, an annual literary event presenting the world of literature as a place of social and cultural dialogue, opens in the Convent of St. Agnes on Thursday. The opening ceremony will be attended by Czech Culture Minister Lubomír Zaorálek and philosopher Václav Bělohradský. The festival's motto this year is the quote, "We are condemned to hope," by the Italian writer Elsa Morante. The festival, founded by the American poet Michael March, will take place in the Convent of St. Agnes and Rock Café in Prague and runs until October the 11th. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday should be partly cloudy to overcast around the country, with day temperatures between 14 and 17 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, the Czech branch of Salvation Army calls for establishment of special quarantine facilities for the homeless. Thursday is Sokol Memorial Day, marking the anniversary of the order by Nazi Governor Reinhard Heydrich to arrest over 1,500 members of the sports association. And later we speak to Hanna Krausová from the travel website Amazing Places, which promotes often hidden gems around the country. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech branch of the Salvation Army has called for the establishment of special quarantine facilities for the homeless in all regions of the Czech Republic. Amidst a surge in the number of new cases of COVID-19 in the country, ordinary shelters for the homeless could easily become hotspots for an uncontrolled spread of the disease. During the first wave of the coronavirus epidemic in the Czech Republic, twice as many homeless people as usual turned for assistance to the Salvation Army offices around the Czech Republic, and its social workers provided help to around 3,000 to 5,000 citizens without a home. Social workers are warning that the number of homeless people is likely to increase in the next few months as a result of the ongoing COVID-19 crisis. František Krupa is the national director of the Salvation Army in the Czech Republic.
Poslední průzkum ministerstva práce z roku 2018 hovoří o cirka 24 000.
According to the latest survey of the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs, which was carried out in 2018, there are some 24,000 homeless people in the Czech Republic. However, our data suggests that there are between 30,000 and 70,000 of them, depending on whether you include only people who live on the streets or also those in asylum houses and other non-standard living arrangements.
The Salvation Army warns that the homeless population could be particularly hard hit by the second wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Czech homeless population has been gradually aging and now has between 15 to 20% of seniors who run a higher risk of contracting the disease. Another factor increasing the risk of COVID-19 infection among the homeless is that a majority of them are not registered with a GP and they are hard to track by hygiene officials since they have no stable address or telephone number. František Krupa also points out that they tend to mistrust official authorities. He says the only solution to the problem is to have enough social workers working directly in the street.
The only sophisticated tool is high-quality terrain and social services. Social workers know where to look for the homeless people, they have established a personal contact with them, and they know how to track them down. The homeless trust them and cooperate, but there are still towns and cities which lack such services.
In view of the worsening coronavirus situation in the country and the upcoming cold winter months, Mr. Krupa says it is absolutely essential to provide special quarantine facilities for the homeless.
Normal people who are sick stay at home, but the homeless have nowhere to go. If they stay in a regular shelter, they can spread the virus uncontrollably. In this situation, tents are not a solution. I think that in the 21st century in Central Europe, people who are sick should not end up in a tent.
František Krupa, the national director of the Salvation Army in the Czech Republic, ending that report. Thursday is Sokol Memorial Day, an official day of significance on the Czech calendar since last year. It honors the memory of hundreds of members of the nation's oldest athletics association, arrested by the Gestapo on the night of October 7th to 8th, 1941, tortured and sent to Nazi concentration camps. Few survived the war. Brian Kennedy reports.
The gymnastics and sports movement Sokol, which means falcon in Czech, was founded in the year 1862 by two leading figures of the National Revival Movement. Its festivals, known as sleti or flockings, have been major manifestations of national pride, especially in troubled times. Some 350,000 athletes took part in Sokol's final slet before the Second World War, held at Strahov Stadium in Prague on the eve of the Munich Agreement of 1938, when the Allies handed over the Sudetenland to Hitler. Unaware of that betrayal, they loudly pledged to defend the homeland. Sokol was banned after the occupation of Czechoslovakia in March 1939, but it was not until October 1941, shortly after the arrival of Reinhard Heydrich, the new governor of the so-called Protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, that Sokol was dissolved. Some 1,500 were arrested by the Gestapo, including the father of Dagmar Evaldova, who was imprisoned in Terezin. Although initially released, he would be rearrested and transferred to Auschwitz, where he died along with 9 out of 10 arrested that very first night.
Byl 8. říjen, zatýkali Sokoly, takže samozřejmě si zase pro tátu přišli.
It was the 8th of October and the Sokols were arrested. They came for my dad. A few Sokol prisoners were released from Terezín and by some miracle he was among them. Even though they closed Sokol, he would meet with groups of teenage members. If anyone asked, I was to say they were my friends and we were celebrating someone's birthday. After his third arrest, my dad said, this time I will not return before the war ends. If I don't come back at all, don't forget that I wanted to make a real Sokol of you. That is a lifetime bond.
Earlier in 1941, the security service under SS General Reinhard Heydrich had been given responsibility for carrying out the Nacht und Nebel decree, according to which persons endangering German security were to be arrested in darkness under the cover of night and fog. It was not until after Operation Barbarossa, the German attack on the Soviet Union, that resistance in the Protectorate and other occupied territory developed on a noticeable scale. Heydrich set out to crush it, ordering that, quote, hostile Czechs, Poles, communists, and other scumbags be transferred to concentration camps for longer periods. Heydrich imposed martial law in the Protectorate on October the 2nd, a week after arriving, to facilitate that process. A few years after the war, another totalitarian regime, the communists, seized power and banned the Sokol movement, replacing it with the Spartakiada, similar mass gymnastics events held under the banner of building socialism. After the fall of communism, Sokol was revived, and Dagmar Evaldova rejoined, fulfilling her father's wishes.
Sokol není jenom tělocvik. Pro nás je mementem Masarykovo.
Sokol is not just physical training. For us, it is Masaryk's legacy. Without Sokol, there would be no Czechoslovak Legion, and without the Legion, no Republic. It's something binding. You have to do everything to keep the idea going.
Ta myšlenka prostě nezahynula.
Brian Kennedy with that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague International, where it's now time for today's main feature, brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
The travel website Amazing Places has set itself an ambitious goal to promote often hidden gems around the country, which will guarantee an unforgettable holiday tailored to your preferences. The team of young enthusiasts creating the list have combed the country for the most magical places there are to be found, from cozy wooden cottages, mills and farmhouses, to exceptional apartments and hotels which offer quality services, beautiful surroundings and excellent food. I spoke to Hanna Krausová, the company's managing director, about how it all began, what her work entails, and how it is affected by the coronavirus crisis.
Amazing Places is a project that gathers the most beautiful places where you can stay across the Czech Republic, so hotels, bed and breakfasts, cottages, and so on. The project started, more than 5.5 years ago. Peter, the founder, he just started a Facebook page where he posted his places that he visited with his family, with his wife and 3 children, and those were the places that he liked a lot. There was in the beginning there was no business plan how to make a sustainable project in the future, but Peter himself, he owns 2 little hotels in Prague, so he has some background in hospitality business. and he sort of know how the places should look like. So it was just his perception of the most beautiful places in the Czech Republic.
So it started out as a very personal thing, and now there's a whole team of you selecting these amazing places in this country. Can you tell me in what way, how you select them, in what way they are amazing? What categories do you offer? Do you offer places for families with children, adrenaline, sports, loners?
It's true. We don't have any specific criteria. So it doesn't mean that we visit a place and the room has to have a flat screen or air condition and so on. And due to those criteria, we select him as a member of Amazing Places. It always has to have some kind of a wow effect for us. So it's very important for us to visit all the places in person, to talk to the owners, to the managers, and based on this experience, then we decide if the place should be a member of Amazing Places. So it's really selective, and it's really based on our personal taste. And I'm really glad that there are more than 305,000 people around the project that probably share the taste with us, and who really like our recommendations. But in the very beginning, when we started to visit those places, it was really a punk project, because we literally traveled across the Czech Republic and knocked on each door that we liked. And that was probably the reason how we could find the hidden gems in the Czech Republic. But as the project grows a lot and started to be much more popular, we now have a lot of requests of places who would like to be a part of Amazing Places. And that's the only question that they send us. How can we be part of Amazing Places? But we always have to reply that there has to be a personal visit, and we have to talk to them, we have to have the experience, and then we have to really honestly say that this place should be a part of Amazing Places.
Do you tailor your offer to demand and infrastructure and services, or because a place is beautiful and worth visiting?
It's more or less the second case. We don't choose the places based on the demand, based on what we think that people will like. We are kind of a trendsetter. So we sometimes really discover the hidden gems that people would normally not select themselves. But we can feel the atmosphere there, and we can just recommend them by our heart. So it's really our own decision.
How many places in the Czech Republic have you put on the map?
There are almost 300 of them today.
I understand that your quest for amazing places has also now spread to Slovakia and Austria. Is that right?
Is it right? We just selected more than 30 places in Slovakia and something about 15 of them in Austria, but we started really in the beginning of this year, and because of this current crisis, we cannot travel to Slovakia and Austria. We had to cut all those trips there, but we hope that we will be able to come back to Austria and Slovakia in following months.
I read somewhere that the coronavirus crisis recently left your whole team stuck in Bali. How did that happen?
Yes, that's right. You have great information. We decided, and it was in the 10th of March that we flew to Bali, the six of us, like the two-thirds of our team, because we wanted to visit some Czechs who have their resorts in Bali. So we wanted to show a Czech audience some of the beautiful places in Bali, which are owned by Czech people. But yeah, it was just 5 days before the whole crisis hit the Czech Republic. So we were stuck in a very small island. It was not really in Bali. It was an island called Gili Meno. You can go from one side of the island to the another in half an hour. So it's a very small island. And being stuck there, maybe with your fiancé or your husband would be very nice. But with your whole team, not knowing where we can come back or what is happening in the Czech Republic, and the flights had been cancelled, and the hotels were shutting down. So it was kind of an adrenaline experience. But what we managed to get back to the Czech Republic finally.
Czechs will most likely be holidaying at home this year. What opportunities does that present?
March and April, those 2 months were really tough for amazing places because all of our hotels were closed. No one knew what is going to happen in the future. But I see a very an opportunity for amazing places because everyone probably will stay in the Czech Republic for the summer holidays. So a lot of our places are already sold out. It started with the small cottages, bed and breakfast, which were sold in the first place. But there are still a lot of bigger hotels, a lot of retreats in the Czech Republic where people can still go and find a date, which are not sold out in June and July and August. So I hope that Czechs will finally discover the Czech Republic and discover the places that they probably hadn't been in a while, or they probably have never visited before, and they will finally realize that the service in the Czech Republic increased a lot, the level of service increased a lot, the quality, and that they don't have to travel abroad for beautiful summer holidays. So I hope for.
Right. Your Hero Hotel project recently made national headlines. Tell me about that.
The Hero Hotel project, we made it together with our partner, a company called Mavris, who make hotel systems. And the project started with the aim to help hotels, which were at the time shut down and who had no income at all. So we decided to motivate clients, people in the Czech Republic to buy vouchers or to buy stays in the hotels at the time, so they have some income in the meantime, and then they can travel there in the time that the travel across the Czech Republic will be open. And the second aim, which we realized it should help people, was that the hotels themselves, they wanted to help the nurses, doctors, people who took care of the patients with the coronavirus. So they offered their capacities, which were free, to those people so they can stay in the hotels in the meantime, not to threaten their families with the coronavirus risk.
Right. Finally, you have discovered many amazing places for people. What is your own favorite amazing place? Do you have a secret hideaway where you go? And are you selling it or are you keeping it secret?
It's not a secret at all. It's one of the probably most popular places in our portfolio of amazing places. For me, it is Chateau Mtelli. I think a lot of people have already heard about it. It's a former chateau in the central Bohemia. And for me, it is amazing because there is a unique, relaxed atmosphere. I always feel great there. And they have the best staff that you can imagine. Everyone is just smiling. Everyone is so helpful. And it is so unique for me as well because last year in summer, we got engaged with my fiancé, so it was very magical, and the staff, they really did the best for making the stay great. So yeah, I will definitely come back there. So it's just today that I made a reservation for our stay in summer in Chateau Mtelli, so yeah, I love it there.
Congratulations then.
Thank you.
Traveling around and looking for amazing places, would you say that you have a dream job?
It is, definitely. It is a dream job, but as all jobs that you can imagine, it's not always just going to the best hotels and enjoying the atmosphere there. It's much more, which is hidden to normal people.
Do you have a dream? Is there any goal that you want to achieve? Where do you want to take amazing places?
I would love that when someday the project would be number one for every Czech who wants to look for really, really quality accommodation in the Czech Republic. So I hope one day it will be amazing places, their first choice where they will go and look for a hotel or a cottage for their holiday. Because I believe that it is getting much more important where people spend their free time, because we have much less free time than we had in the past. So the time is really worth going to places where you have the best experience possible.
Hanna Krausová, good luck with the project and thank you very much for your time.
And that report by Daniela Lazarová, which was first broadcast in May this year, brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague International. If you have any comments about the program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.